it's pretty commonly understood or agreed that this is the best time to be in the Philippines, this time of year, these days before Christmas or until the end of December. The weather's nice, beautiful decorations are out, people are happy, lots of parties. And what seems to mark these days in the most significant way is the novena in preparation for Christmas. That's the Simbang Gabi or the Misa de Gallo novena. And today's the first day of the novena. This mass, as you know, is not a novena mass. But in the parishes, the early morning mass before the sunrise is just, they're just packed with people. I don't even know where those people come from. I never see them, but they, on December 16, they show up and just overcrowd every church, which is something very beautiful about it. It's a evidence of a festive spirit and a welcoming spirit, a prayerful spirit. It's not always a prayerful experience, I know, because people are standing and standing outside in the street, but there's still something very joyful about it, exciting about it. The disadvantage, or one of the disadvantages, is that it culturally, this is the time to celebrate Christmas. This is the heart of the Christmas season in the culture. Whereas liturgically, Christmas doesn't start until the evening of the 24th. So 9 days from now is when Christmas begins. By then, everybody's burned out from their Christmas celebrations. So that's a bit of a disadvantage. But in general, we have to say, it is a beautiful time to be in the Philippines, and it's a beautiful time of year. Now, the liturgy of December 16 is the end of the first part of Advent. I know it's the beginning of the novena, but that's not a liturgical observance as much as a cultural observance. Kind of a local adaptation. In order to get a novena, you have to have 9 days. So we start on the 16th. But the liturgy reserves an octave for the last days of preparation. That starts tomorrow. So here is the end of the first part of Advent. And we return to the figure of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, as we have seen already, is an extraordinary figure and a man who had an extraordinary impact on his time. Drew thousands and thousands of people and led them in a way of repentance and preparation, John the Baptist. In fact, John the Baptist is by far better known and more attested in the New Testament than almost all of the apostles. We know his story. From his birth to his death, we know his ministry, we know what Jesus said about him. Whereas in the case of most of the apostles, we don't know almost anything about them. So John the Baptist is really a key figure. You might remember that at the end of yesterday's gospel, this came from the Gospel of Luke, John the Baptist was set as a kind of dividing line. Those who accepted him were ready. Those who did not accept him were not ready. And that's really how the Gospels tend to present John. You might remember what we heard last time. This is the end of the Gospel yesterday. All the people who listened, including the tax collectors, who were baptized with the baptism of John, acknowledged the righteousness of God. Well, that's the positive side. But the Pharisees and scholars of the law who were not baptized by him rejected the plan of God for themselves. There it is. Pro and con. Ready, not ready. Today's gospel comes from Gospel according to John, and it introduces another possibility which is important for our own Advent preparation. It's possible to accept John and still not be ready. And this is how Jesus says it. You sent emissaries to John and he testified to the truth. He did. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. So he's not talking about people who rejected him. He's talking about people who accepted John. They rejoiced in his light, maybe even became his followers. But Jesus has to say, even though he was a bright and shining lamp, even though he's the greatest of the prophets, he's not the light of the world. He's not the one we're waiting for. And Jesus has to hold up John and then also acknowledge that the least born into the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. So yes, John is a dividing line. Don't get stuck on the line. You have to take the next step and welcome the Messiah, light of the world. Now, the reason why I say this is important for our own Advent preparation is because none of us here, and no one who goes to Mass on a weekday morning like this, especially anyone who went to Mass at 4 o'clock this morning, could be accused of not preparing. We couldn't say that a person who comes to the daily liturgy is not taking Advent seriously or is rejecting the opportunity to prepare. But it's possible to prepare on a certain level or to a certain degree and then stop. So to rejoice in this time of year, to get ready for the celebrations, even to enter somehow into the prayers. And how does he say it? Be content to rejoice in John's light, to rejoice that it's Advent. Advent is not for its own sake. It's for the sake of Christmas. And so if we're not focused on Christmas, meaning the coming of the Lord, then our rejoicing in the light of Advent is still incomplete. The way Jesus puts it, I have testimony greater than John's. Jesus is a light greater than John's. Now, part of the reason why this comes up in John's gospel is because we know from the Acts of the Apostles that there were disciples of John even after Pentecost. Even with the spread of the gospel, there were some people who were still following John. Remember that passage when, I think it was Peter, or I don't remember who was evangelizing somewhere and asked, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, well, we never heard of the Holy Spirit. And he says, well, then how were you baptized? And they say, well, we were baptized with the baptism of John. So there were disciples of John years after the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they still needed to be evangelized. So they were rejoicing in John's light, like Jesus says here, but they hadn't taken the next step of full acceptance of the revelation of God's light of the world. So that's what we're being told here. Now, putting this together with today's first reading, to welcome the light of the world, to welcome the full light of revelation, means to welcome the unfolding of God's plan in its fullness. And here Isaiah talks about how God's plan includes all peoples, not just the Jews, even the foreigners. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples, not only for the 12 tribes, but for all peoples, Jews and Gentiles. And this was a very hard thing for the Jews to accept, because all their life and their whole history, they had been told they're the chosen people. So they concluded that everybody else was not chosen. But here's the prophet Isaiah, or the Lord speaking through Isaiah, to say, yes, the Jews are the chosen people. Salvation comes from the Jews. But salvation is not only for the Jews, it's for everybody. So applying this to ourselves and our preparation, we have to accept that God is at work in the lives of all people. Even those who seem to have no faith and seem to have no attentiveness to the things of God, God is still at work. Maybe the people are in darkness or in ignorance. Maybe they even have hardened their hearts and they're creating problems for themselves. But that does not defeat the plan of God for all people, just for the individual person who closes his heart. This means that we ourselves have to be careful not to close our hearts against anybody for anything. We can identify wrongdoing, and we have to make it clear that right and wrong and all that. So it's not judgment of people's hearts, but of paths of life, of behavior, yes. But there's no excuse for shutting the door on anybody, because God doesn't do that. Let not the foreigner say, when he would join himself to the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Don't let anybody say, the Lord has excluded me. And don't say to anybody, the Lord has excluded you. That's not the spirit of the Lord. And if we're going to be prepared for the coming of the Lord and the full revelation of the Lord, then we have to accept the full plan of God, which is for the salvation of all, and pray that everybody, in the mystery of how God's plan unfolds, will come into this fullness. So this is part of Advent. And we rejoice to continue the journey. Tomorrow we start with the second part of Advent, and we focus especially on the immediate preparations for the birth of the Messiah.